This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
Earlier this week, 100 people slept out on the streets of Birkenhead to try and raise money and awareness for the Charles Thompson Mission. Now, the Charles Thompson Mission helps those who are homeless in the region by giving them somewhere to eat a breakfast, somewhere to wash, somewhere to see a doctor or a dentist. It just really gives them medical help and attention. It's really important, the work that they're doing down there. But I've been told that their need is growing ever more because there are more and more people who are struggling and suffering from homelessness. So I went down to this sleep out. I spoke to a few people who've been homeless for months, some who've been homeless for years. And over the next few minutes, we're going to get a chance to hear some of their stories, as well as from Sean Masha-Dodd, the Birkenhead boxer, who was part of the 100 people who slept out on Friday night. First of all, though, I caught up with Bernie Frost. He's the centre manager of the Charles Thompson Mission. And he told me last year that the sleep out raised £12,000. He told me what that was spent on and why the fundraising is so important.
Well, it helps us to do what we do. We feed people 6 mornings a week, 2 evenings a week. We take them for days out, different trips out, and all kinds of things that we do through the week. We also have gotten a new van, and so money went towards our new van, stroke minibus, and so we've been waiting a long time to purchase that, and so it's great really to be able to have the funds to do things like that. We also send children on holiday once a year. We provide 13 free spaces for holidays, and so that's a lot of money to us. £12,000 is a lot of money to this mission.
How many people use this mission daily then?
Approximately 70 a day. And so they're not all homeless. They are folks that are struggling in some way or other. Between 7 and 9, it's exclusively homeless people. And people say to me, well, how do you know who needs a meal, who doesn't need a meal? Well, we don't have a means test. But if you've got people in at 7 o'clock in the morning, and not everybody, but some of the folks that come in the morning, maybe incontinent, they may be alcoholics, which some of them are. The first thing they do of a morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, this weather, is go for a radiator. So they'll snuggle up to a radiator. So of course, by the time 9 o'clock comes, it's not the best environment. Or if there wasn't a need to eat in here, you probably wouldn't want to eat in here. It's not the Burnie Inn, not McDonald's. So people who come here need to be here.
I walked through Liverpool City Centre at 5:30, 6 a.m. every morning for 2 years, and the number of people that were on the streets every morning, you walk past them and it was heartbreaking because they'd have dogs with them, they'd be sleeping without sleeping bags, with sleeping bags, they'd have dirty clothes, they'd have no money. That number of people appeared to have grown over the 2 years that I've been doing that walk. Is that something that's reflected here?
Yes, absolutely. Same in Birkenhead. There's lots of folks that are out begging on the streets, and we see a lot more young people now, and so I'm quite shocked at the amount of young people got coming through the door at the moment, using night shelters, sleeping under the stars, and it's really a worrying trend. Nationally, it was over 300,000 people that were homeless in Britain. That's shocking, I know there's people fall through the net, but that really ought to be something that should be done on a higher level and looked into, that we can end up in this day and age with that many people homeless.
I came down here last year and interviewed a few people who were around the place, and I just want to ask about two of them. I'll mention one first of all, and I cover Tranmere matches at Prenton Park, and I drive in every match day, and he's standing there and he's marshalling the traffic, and he's got himself out of the mission, and that's such a wonderful thing to see. And you were telling me that he's got himself a little family now as well.
We can't mention his name obviously, but he came through the mission, someone who used the services, wanted to come and help, so he's been in help for about 3-4 years, got himself a CV together, little job, and so he celebrated in October the arrival of his first baby, and so it's all happy days at the moment for him. But there's somebody who's got out, and that's what we seek to do, is to help people out of poverty, help them up the rungs of the ladder, and we wish we could do more. We wish we could help more people, but he's took the tools that have been handed to him and used them.
And the one other person is Wendy, who actually came and volunteered her story to me last year, just as I was about to leave. And it was possibly the most emotional interview I've ever done. She told me she only had 3 or 4 months left to live. She was an alcoholic. She'd been living on the streets for 40 years. How is she now?
Yeah, Wendy's in a place in a hostel at the moment. Her life expectancy was extended because they're now getting the meds in place, and so she's as well as she can be expected to do. She's got proper support. They call it wraparound support, and so she's got a lot of support around her at the moment. She needs that. Some people just do not do life well, and it's a mystery for us that you go home to a nice family, a nice house. It's a mystery, but there's a lady that really needed that support, and she's got that support, and it's lovely to see that at that level.
Bernie Frost from the Charles Thompson Mission there speaking to me earlier this week. You're listening to Radio City Talk, and it really was wonderful to hear that Wendy is still alive. It brought a smile to my face because I wasn't expecting it after what she told me last year. She could barely stand up, she could barely walk, and she really was in poor health. So to find out that she's still here and she's getting better, absolutely wonderful. Really pleased to hear that. Right, a chance to hear from one of the users of the Charles Thompson Mission now. I caught up with a few people. We'll hear from Paula in a minute, who told me that she knew of people who'd been set on fire whilst they'd been out on the street sleeping at night. Really horrible to hear them. Here is Steve, and he told me his story.
Without this place, mate, this Thompson Mission, I wouldn't be on the planet, to be honest with you, mate. I've met a lot of nice people, and they're the genuine ones, mate. All them ones who were up at the top, mate. You know what I mean? They're not proper people.
Tell me what you do during the day then, when you're not here and you're not at the night shelter. How do you spend your day?
Well, to be honest with you, it varies. Depends who you're with. It depends. Depends who's there, what you're doing, and what ones are thinkers and which ones aren't, to be honest.
So it's very much a day-to-day thing. Your life is just completely happens.
You just run with the circle of people who you like looking after, you know what I mean? And you'd have their backs, you'd have there on the street, mate. There's anything could happen, you know what I mean? And it has happened to a few people I know. I won't go into details, but it has, yeah.
How many people do you know that are in a similar situation to you? I mean, are there a lot of you who know each other pretty well?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, everyone has each other's backs, you know what I mean? You meet in the night shelter, you meet here in the morning, and do you know what? I wouldn't be here without it, you know what I mean?
Is it a situation that you think is getting worse? Do you think, are you noticing more and more people who are joining you out there?
I certainly do, yeah. Homelessness in Birkenhead is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And this universal credit stuff, it's basically killing people. Basically, they're playing God with people's lives with that. You know what I mean? They get no money for six weeks. Well, they might even have a pad, you know what I mean? They might have it all. They get no money for 6 or 8 weeks, but how do you think it feels for people on the streets like us? You know what I mean? It's like they sanction you because you haven't got a permanent address. If it's a care of address, you've got to sign on every day. Which, don't get me wrong, I want to work. But there's no work to be had. I'd love to work. I'm not very fit at the moment, but I've got my problems and I'll sort that. But I'd love to work. But there's not. You know what I'm saying?
What do you think the future does hold for you then?
I don't look that far ahead, mate, to be honest with you, because you don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next. You know what I'm saying? You're out there. Probably the worst place you can be. You're out there on your own.
Where do you go at night? Where would you go if you didn't have the shelter then?
I'd go behind the shops or B&M or... It's not just me there, we're doing that. You know what I mean? There's quite a few people doing it, to be honest. Too many people doing it. There's a fella, Al Phil, he's not here today, which I'm shocked about. And he's the general, we call him. And he'll sleep out there, hail, rain or snow, no matter what. And he's, 60-odd, 70-odd. He's still doing it, mate. You know what I mean? Why hasn't someone come forward to give him the help? Do you get me? It's wrong, mate. It's playing God with people's lives.
You say that you want a job. Obviously, you want
to
get back into work.
You
want a house.
You're not fit enough when you're out on the street, mate, and you've got nothing to even, apart from the security, to wake you up. Right, and you've got to get up and move with all the stuff that you don't.
Do you believe that one day you will get a job again?
Well, hopefully, yeah, the country sort of dead out, like, to be honest with you. Yeah.
What were you doing before and what jobs have you had in the past?
I was a window fitter, fabricate welder, and ill health deteriorated, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, like, I want to work.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
Last week, I went down to the Charles Thompson Mission in Birkenhead to try and find out what they're doing to help the homeless this Christmas. It is a growing problem. There are more and more people struggling with it. And I've been told that people are dying out there on the streets because they've got nowhere to go. This is part two of my documentary. Before the break, we heard from Bernie Frost, who runs the centre, and also from Steve, who's one of the users. So let's get another story now. This is John. He uses the Charles Thompson Mission daily, and he's been telling me his story.
I was when I was released from prison. I was just released with nowhere to go. So I come back to my own area and, like, I had nowhere to go. I was just walking around, didn't know what to do with myself or anything. I've just, like, been in and out of hostels. I haven't been able to get accommodated since.
Can you tell us a little bit about your backstory, how you ended up in prison?
I think I was just shoplifting, really, to get money. A bit embarrassing, really. I was shoplifting to fund a drug addiction and, like, homelessness, really.
Tell me a little bit about what it's like spending your night on the street.
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible. It's like freezing cold. You've got nowhere to go. You're really vulnerable. You could be attacked. You've heard of people being attacked, things like that, by gangs, young kids. People get the wrong impression of people who are homeless. They think, like, they're a scourge on the community, but it's not that. We've got nowhere to go. Where do we go? Police officers pulled us over earlier on while we were waiting to go for a meal because we were getting picked up in a van. So none of us were together in the first place, but we all ended up congregating in the same area, and the police have come and told us to move. We said to the police, well, where do you want us to go? We're homeless, we haven't got nowhere to go. We're only going to go somewhere else and stand there. We've got nowhere to go. We haven't got a home to go to. And then we congregate, and that's when people, passers-by, get the wrong impression because they see a gang of scruffy people and think that they're bad people when they're not. It's just that we fell on unfortunate times.
If you say you've heard of people getting attacked, it must be really scary just sitting there, going to sleep, lying there, going to sleep, and just not knowing what's going to happen before you wake up.
Yeah, it is really scary. Especially, like, round here, there is lots of gangs of kids who think it's fun to record and bully, pick on people who are vulnerable.
What's the worst thing that's happened to you while you've been homeless then?
Nothing personal to me. I can look after myself, but other people I've heard of people taking the money from them and things like that. People who beg or go out and do what they do. And people getting taxed and they can't do nothing because they're vulnerable.
How hard is it at this time of year as well? Because we've got 100 people outside here who are sleeping out tonight, and it is really, really cold. But they know that tomorrow they're not going to have to do it. You don't have that comfort blanket.
No. We get a lot of help from the mission where we are now, and they're great supporting the homeless. There is a lot of different people from all different backgrounds, and it is difficult not knowing what you're going to do the next day. You just walk around with nowhere to go. There's nothing to do, and it's just day after day after day. And around the Christmas time, it is much harder, because you see people going out and doing things, and, you can't do nothing. You can't even go and change your clothes. You've got nowhere to change or anything. So
I was going to say, at this time of year as well, we see people walking around the shops carrying huge bags of presents for each other. What's it like for you knowing that
I'm going to get no presents.
Well, not that you're going to get no presents, but just that this is what your Christmas is going to be. It is going to be out there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you do look at people like that and think, you know, I wish, but I always think those people worse off than me. And you just got to crack on with it and do it, you know. Again, we get a lot of help through the charities over the Christmas time, which are brilliant.
That's one thing I've noticed, is that there is a lot of help around here. We've not just got the Charles Thompson Mission. Obviously, there's Whitechapel Centre over in Liverpool. Yeah. There's the YM here as well. There's a lot of places where people can go to get help and hopefully get that foot on the ladder to moving towards getting their own home.
Yeah, I mean, you hear that, but it doesn't actually happen. It is hard, you know. I've got deposit money there to get accommodation, and you just can't get it. There's nothing available. You need guarantors, things like that. Identification. I haven't got no identification since I've been out of prison. I can't get accommodation because I can't prove who I am, because the landlord gets a £5,000 fine for renting properties to people who obviously aren't who they say they are, type thing. But it's difficult, yeah. It's hard.
What do you think your future holds then?
I'm trying to remain positive, and I hope I do get accommodated, and then I'll get myself back into work, and hopefully, like, it will happen, but it's a matter of when.
Where do you go then after you leave the Charles Thompson Mission tonight? What's your evening hold?
Daily too. Well, we get up, we come here for 7 in the morning, and you can stay up till 12 in the day, then. In the afternoon, basically just walk around with load of bags, which is our property, find somewhere to go, sit, and then you've got other appointments, so you end up walking, then you just try and use your day up. And then round tea time, there's 3 or 4 places you can go, like different days of the week, so you go and get something to eat, stay there for another hour, and then basically you're just in bed for 9, you know, you just go to sleep, because there's no point to... You're knackered because you've been walking around all day, and why stay up? There's, you know, nothing to stay up for.
Where do you sleep at night?
I use the night shelter in West Stonehenge.
And how important is that to you?
Oh, it's very important. Without that, I'd be back in my tent, sleeping in a tent, wedged behind a fence in a bush.
Is that where you were?
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that then.
Oh, just basically I got given a tent from the mission, and pitched it up at the back of a car park behind a bush and a fence, someone's back garden fence. I was living there for like 3 months, and no one even knew I was there or anything, hidden away. Well, that was scary, because even if a night... one night, it must have been a fox come close to the tent sniffing, and you could hear it sniffing. When it moved me out, it scrambled off. But yeah, I've seen a few foxes.
John there speaking to me, Matt Jones, on Radio City Talk down at the Charles Thompson Mission earlier this week, and some really harrowing stories, and we can only imagine how scary it must be to spend a night out on the street. Well, one person who chose to do that last week was Birkenhead champion boxer Sean Dodd. Now, he was involved in the sleep out last year, and he says when he was asked to do it again this time round, he couldn't answer yes quick enough.
We're hooked with helping people, helping our own, and the people that are struggling, but they're struggling through, you know, not really a choice. If you hear the stories from some people, it's shocking. And it just shows you how easy it is for anyone in any walk of life to end up on the street. And, you know, I've met Bernie, and I know Bernie now, and Donnie and Stacey, and, you know, me mate Crawford here, and Paddy, be good, Pad. And, you know, we're involved now, we're in it together, and it was the first one last year, it was amazing, great turnout, and Dimitri mentioned it's happening again, we're here again, and we believe it's doubled, which is great.
Yeah, there's 100 people here, that there were 50 last year, and it raised 12 grand last year, which is a remarkable amount of money.
Wow, 12 grand in one night, it's unbelievable. You just, for what you do, it feels like you're only doing a little bit, but we all are, to be fair. Everyone's doing a little bit. And then when you put it all together, it's massive. And I didn't realise how big it was. So it's brilliant. It is really... It's heartbreaking when you see, but it's overwhelming to hear what we're all doing together to help our own.
Stacey, tell us what it was like last year.
Cold. Very cold. But it was good there, wasn't it? Good atmosphere and all that. when we were speaking to people, you wouldn't know who was homeless and who weren't, because people's expectations of, like, homeless people is not what you'd expect when you see people and when you talk to them. There's that many different stories coming from different people, and no one chooses to be homeless, do they? So it was good, wasn't it, last year?
Well, I remember coming and speaking to some of the people down here, and their stories were heartbreaking, and it's good to hear that some of them are now on the road to recovery or are fully recovered, and hopefully, again, this year, this will help bring more people out.
Yeah. I've just met a girl from school there as well, Jo, and one of her family members died, done it last year, but then he's passed away since, so there's more of them come down to do it, and then someone else who she knows is in recovery now and doing well because of the help from the mission, what they get to put them in rehab and stuff like that.
It's good to hear that people are getting help from it. It's so important down here in Birkenhead. We're just out on the street. To my right, there's a few people on sleeping bags. There's a fire going as well, which Sean was huddling round earlier to keep warm. Tell us how cold it is.
Oh, it's freezing. It is. And, you know, we're speaking with a couple of the lads, and they'll say, now you know what it feels like with us, but they don't mean it in that sense, you know, and it's right what they're saying. And this is why we do it, because it keeps you grounded, it makes you appreciate life, the littlest of things, what people take for granted. And, the way we all mix in together, the lads are playing the guitar there. You know, we're all having a laugh, we're all having a banter, we're bouncing off each other. We're trying to keep warm around the fire. It's all right now, but it's going to get colder. The fire's not going to last. People want to go to sleep, and that's when it really hits home, and it is hard. But just touching on before what we said about, people and stories, and there was a lady last year, Wendy, who you interviewed yourself, and I seen your interview, and I was intrigued to hear her story on your documentary. And when I listened to it with my mum, both of us were crying. It was such a sad, sad story. And I asked her, didn't I, about Wendy this time round, and I believe she's in a hostel now. And at the time, I think she said she had a three-month expectancy, life expectancy, and it's been a year, and she's in a hospital, and she's moving on, and that's great, you know what I mean? And to us, it's a result, so we're over the moon.
It really is heartwarming. And one of the things I would say is that last year, people were here, and they were actually looking forward to the night, but when you think it's just one night, it's so much easier to do.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I'm just... Can we let our Paddy have a little shout?
Because
I can't... I know he wants to have a little say, and I want to let him say his piece.
Paddy, tell us your story.
Well, first our time, Paddy used to call me Irish Paddy, but I'm actually Tom. It's quick crack. Meat masher here, and the support with the people is great, and it's lovely, you know. But I look into life is, and the life is the homeless, the life of the homeless, you know. You've only got one chance in life and live it, you know. The homeless living in this homeless life is sad. No person should ever live it. No, we don't have enough to say. What are we going to say? What are we going to say to the people? We're going to love the people. We're going to turn around and say, look, you know, you shouldn't be sleeping there. We fire stones at them. We do this and we do that. 100%. You don't. If your brother was now lying homeless on the ground, what would you do? Would you pick him up or would you leave him there? You pick him up. But each and every homeless out there is your brother and your sisters, your family. And everyone together is all family. So don't leave them behind. Just think of someone you have never met, right? And you have never seen him in your life before. As someone that's close, as someone that's handsome or pretty, doesn't matter. Each and every one has a soul, and the soul is beautiful. A soul that we cannot feel, we cannot touch. It's the beauty of your life that we can't touch. But the beauty of life is to love and hug and love each other and pick them up from what they've left off and give them a new start in life, because everybody needs it. God never told us one thing. He never told us it's going to be this hard, but it is. It is hard. It's hard for people to listen, it's hard for people to trust, and for people to love. The most important thing is, never think of what it's going to be is trust each and every one and love them. Pick them up from the dirt and love them. You think when you pick them up from the dirt, Jesus created Adam and Eve. Eve from the dirt. Pick them up from the dirt and love the people, because you know what? One chance in life you get, and one chance in your life you live it. May each and every one of you out there listen to this, because one chance you get, and when you live it, you'll only live it only once. May God bless each and every one of you.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
Right, I went down to the Charles Thompson Mission last week to find out about some of the great work that they're doing to help the homeless. But I also spoke to a number of people who are still struggling. They're using the facility, but they've got nowhere to live. They've got nowhere to go at night. And for some of them, that's been the case for years and years and years. Two people I caught up with were Lorna and Julie, and they told me their stories.
I got arrested in July 16. I got 32 months prison and done 16 months out of that. And through that, I've lost my house, everything, all my, you know, belongings. And I've been coming here and living at the night shelter in the YM.
How was it that you ended up in prison, if you don't mind me asking?
I was going to Gran Canaria and I had some cocaine on me and got caught and got 32 months for it.
The one thing that I've learned from being here tonight is that everyone here has a different story of how they ended up using the Charles Thompson Mission, but everyone needs it so much, and the work that it does is absolutely incredible.
Oh yeah, we'd be lost without it. You know, we get fed here and that. They're brilliant.
There are some people here who don't have somewhere to sleep at night. You must feel lucky in a certain sense that you do have the night shelter to go to.
Yeah, I do feel lucky, but with being a woman, it's hard, you know what I mean, because it's mostly men in there. But, you know, at least it's a roof over our heads.
Explain to me what the night shelter is then, because people are here and probably just go, oh, it's just a room with a bed, it's fine.
Yeah, it's a room with, a sponge mattress on the floor, very thin, and a sleeping bag. But you can't go in till 10:30. And then you've got to go out at 7 in the morning.
In weather like this, it's great that you've got somewhere to go for those 8.5 hours, but at 7 o'clock this morning, it was probably 2-3 degrees. At 9 o'clock tonight, it was probably 2-3 degrees. It's temperatures that people cannot be outside in if they've not got the clothes to keep them warm.
I know, and I'm 48 now, and it's the day is so long, you know, walking around. And, like, we can come here, the mission is great, but when this shuts at 1, we've got to walk around till 10:30 at night. And if I didn't have this place to come, I'd go back to prison, because at least there, you know, you've got no worries or nothing.
What do you think the future holds for you?
Hopefully I'll get a flat and, you know, start again. Can't go any further down, can I, really?
Julie, could you just tell me a little bit about your story and how you ended up here?
I've been coming here a good few years. Same as me, I lost my property, my keys got stolen, and squatters were in my flat. I've been out of prison and then out of hospital a lot. I've been coming here, like, you can get your showers. The YMCA, basically, it's too cold. It is, like, cold. By the time you go to sleep with people and they're like, nothing, that's time to get up. And like, it's just like a sleeping bag and it's cold, you know what I mean?
How long has this been the case for you then? How long have you been homeless?
On and off now, about 8-9 years.
And can you try and explain what it's like to spend a night on the street? Because there are people here tonight who are doing it to try and raise some money, to try and raise some awareness, but they know that tomorrow they're not going to have to be out there in the cold. What is it like?
It's hard because, like, I've got mental health issues. I suffer with depression. And also I've got an open wound on my ankle where I've been walking around.
What's the worst thing that's happened to you when you've been out on the streets at a night then?
2016, and as I was walking down coast, he said, I can't remember if someone come at me, but he ends up with a little scar there, stitches. I don't still haven't got a clue to this day who it is. They could be still out there.
Some of the situations that these people are finding themselves in are absolutely heartbreaking. Lorna and Julie speaking to me on Radio City Talk there down at the Charles Thompson Mission as they get helped out, but still they've got nowhere to go. They've got no home, they've got nowhere to live, and it's all they want. We've heard the story. Some people have got the money for a deposit, but they can't get a flat. And it's just incredible. It's heartbreaking and frustrating that these people are living in this situation in this day and age. One other person that I caught up with was Paula, who just told me a horrible story. She's had children who've been taken away from her. She fell into drug addiction and that's why she lost them. She's now out of it and then back into it and out of it again. It's a horrible situation for her to be in. And she told me her story and why she got to where she is today.
2013, I became into addiction, into drugs, heroin and crack cocaine, with regards to losing my children, which I then became offending, committing crimes for my addiction. I also then lost my property, my kids, my career, because I worked as well for a lot of years. I sorted myself out, put myself into a rehab in 2015, got myself clean for 2 years. While being in recovery, I had a baby, a little boy, he's like nearly two. And I was away from the world, I moved away. But then I come back, I came back to the Wirral, and I was attacked, I got attacked in my own home, and my son was actually there, so he was under social services, but they knew I was doing well, so they sort of like kept it more easy with me and stuff, with round visits, come and see me like once a month. I got attacked in my own home, the baby had to get taken out of the house, he got took to my eldest daughter's, and I was all right for a bit, it was like for about 3 months. And then after that, I sort of started getting them feelings again. Like I felt like I was on the hamster wheel again, you know, like as I was before, things bringing up from my past also, you know. Because when I have drugs, me, it's that like comfort blanket. And because of the circumstances I'm in, that's why I use drugs and I commit crimes. This time round, the baby was with my daughter, and I ended up relapsing after 22 months back into drugs. Lost my property again, which what I had. My son, he's just been adopted. He's now with my other two children, who were adopted 4 years ago. And all my depression started coming back, and obviously now I'm homeless, you know, losing my property. I was living with my partner. He was then evicted because obviously a lot of stuff going on. He got busted and all kinds of stuff, the way we do, you know, things that we do when we're using drugs and just getting into trouble and that. We both ended up on the street. We were living in a tent for a couple of days, but we access around the mission, which they are quite good here. You know, they donate like, stuff to us. We get like clothes off them and we get fed. We come here. We come here at like 7 a.m. We access the night shelter up at the YMCA. And it's just, I don't know, I just feel like, when I say depression, I don't feel myself no more, not liking myself anymore. But when I come here and I'm with other people, I think, like, at first I was a bit not wanting to be, you know, feeling ashamed and guilty and stuff like that, you know. But now, since I've been coming to the mission, you know, they do help me and the staff here are really good. But hopefully, like, I've just put myself on a mainstay, which that's class four. When you're homeless, you go on, like, a list and that accesses around all hostels. So I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that I get top up on there and get a room and into the YMCA or wherever, and I've been viewing properties, but I don't know, it's just this homeless lark, like I didn't think I'd ever be like this, because last time I went on the streets, you know, was homeless or sofa surfed, but everywhere you go, you know, people want stuff out of you, and then when you haven't got it, they kick you out, and being on the streets and all the time, but it's horrible, but as I say, it's something that I've got to look and live with, really, and think, like, you know, things will get better, and try and make myself more positive, because I do suffer bad with depression, and that's around my children, because, like, obviously three have been adopted, and I've got three other children out there who actually just want their mum back. Like, my eldest daughter, she it breaks her heart, you know, she's, like, 21, so she knows, and it hurts her more. She's in a lot of pain when she sees her mum like this, so we sort of, like, don't speak. And it's more the case she just thinks, like, well, you know, my mum could get found dead in a gutter and stuff. So that's a lot of stuff around my kids, and it's not nice for them to feel that, you know. So I sort of, like, want to get trying to get myself somewhere to live. So then, because I know once I'm living somewhere and I do get, like, a room in a hostel or to get a property, a bedsit, whatever, I'll be more stable in myself.
And you'll be able to see your kids again, hopefully, and then you've got that light at the end of the tunnel, yeah. Something to aim for, which is so important, isn't it?
Yeah, obviously, that's, I mean, my main priority, what I've learned, obviously, being when I'm an addict, is I can't get clean for my kids, and I can't get clean for my mum, and I can't get clean for my dad. I have to get clean for myself, you know what I mean? I've got to start thinking about me, and you've got to be selfish to be kind, do you know what I mean? So I need to do for myself. Because if I don't, then my kids won't have a mum, do you know? So, and I'm a nan as well. I've got a grandson, you know. He's, like, nearly six. And, the thing I want back is my kids. There's three kids out there who I'm able to access and see. And I just want them to have a mum, you know. I can't be a mum while I am the way I am. So, yeah, it's just hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, I get the support from the mission here. I access all different areas. We're always Tomorrow's Women, and they help me as well, do you know what I mean, into gaining access in other areas. But yeah, all I can say is I'm homeless, and I just want people out there, you know, there is places like this where we can access and we can gain, you know, to come to these places and not to feel ashamed, you know what I mean? It's a, you know, you got to look after yourself, you know, and there's places where you can go to get, like, clean and get yourself a shower, and you know what I mean? It's not being out there, it is horrible and it's scary, you know. People, I've got friends who've been out there, they've been homeless, they've been killed, you know, kicked to death and battered, and they've ended up dead, and I don't want to be like that, do you know what I mean? I want to be able to look, be here and grow up for my kids and not be this person that I am today, you know. But other than that, I don't know what else to say.
Well, it amazes me how kind of matter of fact you are about the whole situation. I mean, like, it's such a scary thought. You mentioned your friends there. I mean, that must be what you're thinking in the back of your head every night when you go to sleep. And there are 100 people out here tonight who are doing this to raise some money, to raise some awareness, but they're not getting, and they'll admit it themselves, they're not getting the true flavour of what you have to go through every night.
Yeah, like you say, when I was clean, it was like, I was actually doing voluntary work up in a drug and alcohol services, and when I was actually on the other side and being clean, and I sort of, like, looked on the outside and I could see other addicts and people who were homeless and stuff, it reminded me what was up there, do you know what I mean? And it was quite scary, you know. And seeing people, like, I had a friend who got set on fire up the road, you know, people have died behind the white B&M's at the back of here, and these are, like, close friends of mine who, you know, who have been homeless and they drink and stuff like that, and all the kids around, you know, kids, the nowadays, this generation, it's like, you know, they come up and give you a hide when you're sitting there on a bench, and, you know, and I have a lot of fear around that, you know, that could be me, you know what I mean?
What is the worst that's happened to you then?
The worst to me was losing my kids, you know. I was in a violent relationship, you know, so social services were involved, and then obviously they went into foster care. And instead of me, like, dealing with that, I sort of, like, hung around with this wrong person who was smoking heroin. And I ended up smoking heroin. And it sort of gave me that, like, confidence, a blanket, like a warm blanket, where, like, I could deal with things on the outside world, if that made sense, you know. But if I didn't have it, I sort of, like, I couldn't face anything, you know, and I'm not well, very poorly. But to get the drugs, I'm offended, I'm committing crimes, you know, when it's not good, you know, walking around the streets, police pulling you all the time, and it's not a good thing, it's not good, but it's just scary, and shameful. I do feel ashamed about myself, you know, really bad, that it's turned out like this again, but all I can say is, you know, hopefully I will get somewhere, and I've just got to keep pushing myself, and I just keep going to the night shelter every night, you know, asleep in the night shelter, so I know I'm safe.
It's horrendous to hear, isn't it? You're listening to Radio City Talk. I mean, how can anyone be living in that situation where they've had friends who've lost their lives because they've been beaten to death living out on the streets, and yet they're in that situation? It's what they have to go through every night. It must be so, so scary going to sleep every night. And that's why the work that places like the Charles Thompson Mission do is so, so important. The Whitechapel Centre in Liverpool as well, they're all over the place and they do some great, great work. So if you do want to help out, if you do want to donate, particularly to the Charles Thompson Mission, which is where I went down on Friday, then please just visit their website, their Facebook, their Twitter feed. They'd love to hear from you. They'd love you to sponsor the people who did that sponsored sleep out as well. 100 of them. They raised 12 grand last year. Please, can you try and help them beat that target this time round? That would be absolutely wonderful.
Radio City Talk.
Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.